Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The portion of Scripture which I have selected for our consideration this morning is the 96th Psalm, which we read responsively a few moments ago. On the basis of this 96th Psalm, I want to speak to you this morning on the theme, A New Song. The theme appears in the very first verse of the Psalm, Sing unto the Lord a new song. And that theme casts its shadow throughout all 13 verses of this psalm. The Christian church was historically activated and motivated by the great commission given her by Jesus, as recorded in the conclusion of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, where Jesus says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Psalm 96 is this same great commission, issued poetically and proleptically, that is, issued before its time had fully come. In Psalm 96, we anticipate Jesus' great commission to the church by some 500 years. That which is anticipated in Psalm 96 goes into effect and begins to unfold when the gospel goes out in the book of Acts. It was then that God's people began to sing a new song. Psalm 96 looks forward to the time when Jesus will say, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye, therefore. This morning we take a look at Psalm 96 to see what Jesus' directive, Go ye, therefore, means to the church today. Now, what strikes us immediately in our text is that this psalm presents the church's missionary message as a song meant to be sung. It's a song to be sung by God's people, and it is a new song. Why a new song? The phrase new song occurs 9 times in the Bible, 6 times in the Psalms, once in Isaiah chapter 42, twice in the book of Revelation. These texts taken together spell out a threefold message associated with the new song. First, it's a message of salvation, which is being sung by God's people. Secondly, it's a song which is meant to be heard by all the peoples on earth. And finally, the new song proclaims the advent or the coming of the Lord into this world. These three themes, salvation for all peoples and the coming of the Lord, clearly appear in the text before us. The new song is a song of salvation. Verse 2 of our text, Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation, and do it from day to day. The new song is meant to be heard in all the earth. Verse 1, Sing to the Lord, all the earth. It is for all the nations. It's for all the peoples. Verse 3, tell of his glory among the nations. Tell of his wonderful deeds among all the people. And the new song in Psalm 96 concludes with the Lord's coming to judge the world, and to judge the world in righteousness, and to judge it in truth. It is this theme of the coming of the Lord, which makes Psalm 96 an appropriate psalm for this Advent season of the church year. But if there is a new song, must there not have been an old song? After all, the words new and old are relative. They point to each other. And so there was an old song, once sung by God's people. It's recorded in Psalm 137, which speaks of a song that looks backward in time, in contrast to the new song that looks forward in time. Consider the following sentiments found on the lips of God's people captive in Babylon. There we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. Our captors demanded of us songs, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." But how can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How can we forget Jerusalem? The old song of Zion is simply not meant to be sung in a foreign land. The old song was sung in Jerusalem. The old song was sung for Zion. What is needed by God's people is a new song for a new day that can be sung not only in a foreign land, but in every foreign land. God's people need a new song to proclaim a new message for a new day under a new testament. We're told in Scripture, you can't take new cloth and sew it onto old clothing. It tears apart. We're told in Scripture, you can't take new wine and put it into old bottles. They burst. We can sing a new song until a new day begins. The restrictions of the Mosaic economy, which began at Mount Zion and ended in Jerusalem, must be replaced by the worldwide vision lodged already in the promise God made to Abraham back in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. That's why God's people under the Old Testament needed a new song. But the new song is not set to the tune or to the text of God's condemning and God's restricting law. The new song is set to the tune and to the text of God's forgiving and universal gospel. The new song in Psalm 96 anticipates this gospel. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim his good tidings, the good tidings of his salvation from day to day. The sorrow, the weeping, the anger, the vengeance in Psalm 137 must be replaced by the new song of gladness, of rejoicing, of compassion, and of the joy of victory. If God's people are to sing the new song, the Lord must first reign, and his kingdom must first come. And he does reign, and his kingdom has come. The antiphonal verse of our psalm this morning told us, "Say among the nations, the Lord reigns." And it all happened because of the atoning death accomplished on an accursed cross by our Savior in the city of Jerusalem. It's the new song set to the text of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone causes the heavens to be glad, the earth to rejoice, the sea and all in it to resound, the fields and all therein to be exalted, and the very trees of the forest to sing out for joy. In short, the new song celebrates the renewal of all creation. No wonder God's people need a new song to sing out so great a message about so great a God as described in our text. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. But before the new song could be sung, something had to happen here on earth in history. The Lord of heaven had to come down from heaven to men on earth. The new song is the divinely inspired epiphany carol, and at the same time, the divinely inspired Easter chorale. Let the whole creation rejoice before the Lord, for he's coming. He's coming to judge the earth. He'll judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. And on this note, our psalm ends. The first advent announced the incarnation of the incarnate Word. The celebration of Christmas commemorates the earthly beginnings of the redemption of the world. The second advent brings this time of redemption to its close. In the meantime, by God's grace in Christ Jesus, you and I, as God's people today, have the opportunity and the joy of joining that great choir on earth that sings out the new song. By God's grace, the new song of salvation will continue to ring out today and every day to all peoples and all nations until that final great day when Jesus comes again. And then the new song will become our eternal hymn of praise, sung without end to the Lamb who was slain for our salvation, and to him who sits on the throne in glory forever and ever, world without end. Amen.